This is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated June 17, 2016. It's about 2 o'clock. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Vigil Lends Peace and Safety. Church Holds Vigil for Orlando Victims. Decatur. Bev Ritter found what she was looking for at First Presbyterian Church on Thursday night. In the wake of the mass shooting in Orlando, Florida, in which a man killed 49 people in a nightclub, Ritter wanted to find some peace. She saw friends going to prayer vigils in Bloomington and Springfield, so she decided to organize one herself at her church. What started out with plans for a small service in the sanctuary turned into a crowd of more than 60 at the candlelight prayer vigil. "I just want to say how wonderful, loving, and warm it feels here tonight," Ritter said as she addressed the crowd before saying a prayer, "and how safe it feels." First Presbyterian's Orlando Candlelight Prayer Vigil began with a welcome by retired Presbyterian minister Reverend Bill Kegel. "The 49 people who lost their lives represent a loss to each of us, not numbers," Kegel said. These are individual humans, real people." Then Kegel read the list of 49 victims of the shooting. The rest of the vigil included a contemplative prayer written after the mass shooting by nationally known hymnist Carol Winfrey Gillette, along with scripture readings, songs performed by Ryan Holler and Mitchell Van Zandt, and a candlelight march to the church's peace pole, while the crowd sang "We Shall Overcome," then "Amazing Grace" in unison. "There was a need for this in our community," Ritter said. "It was going to be small, but the energy kept building." Ritter gave an emotional speech before her prayer during the service. "My hope is, after another act of senseless violence, is not to just sit here and pray again and cry again," Ritter said. "I felt so loved this week as things fell into place for this, and I thought, how can we carry this past this week? I don't know, but I hope tonight's a start." Ritter said she spent much of the time since the shootings last Sunday morning wondering what could have stopped the shootings from happening. "I don't know the answer, but I see this 10-year-old boy sometimes with a lost look in his eyes, and I get down on his level, look at him, and try to let him connect to some humanity," Ritter said. "I see that light change a little. We need to find those boys and do what we can to reach them. We need to do something to keep another angry young man from being created." The Gillette hymn was read as a contemplative prayer by Cindy Ween, who is a part of a contemplative prayer group at First Presbyterian with Ritter. "Bev has heard me speak before, and I guess she liked what she heard, and she asked me to be part of it," Ween said. Gillette's hymn read in part, quote, "Give our leaders strength for action. Give them minds to mend our flaws. Give them courage and compassion, and the will to change our laws. May we work for legislation that will curb guns' awful toll. Only love can stop the violence. Only love will bring back joy," end quote. Student aides help kids find superheroes. Decatur. Isabella Leedsma isn't even sure she's going to do choir in seventh grade. Yet she's one of 17 students helping out with the Superheroes to Rescue day camp at St. Patrick's School this week to help raise money for the junior high choir to take a trip to Cincinnati next spring. "I'm kind of busy right now because my family is moving, but I like to help so the adults don't have so many kids to deal with," said Isabella, 11. Referring to the camper she's paired up with, 8-year-old Alistair Kennedy, she said she tries to help him with ideas, but he has good ones too. Isabella confided that she's only a little nervous that the boy's mom, Sarah Kennedy, is one of her teachers at St. Patrick. Yet the third grader seemed to be having a great time trimming aluminum foil from his shield of faith, then following Isabella's direction to press on the foil so that the cross underneath would stand out. "It actually shows! Cool!" Alistair exclaimed. Billy Shea, music and technology teacher at St. Patrick, said the camp started with superheroes the children know, such as Superman, Captain America, and Wonder Woman. The focus then shifted to real heroes in human history, such as the Roman Catholic saints and all the children's lives, and in the children's lives, and what makes people, these people, heroic. The four classrooms devoted to the camp are designed to bring all the elements of STREAM education into play: science, technology, religion, engineering, art, and math. In third grade, teacher Pam Martin Hull's room, for example, the shield making was based on Ephesians 6:16-17, which reads in part, "Take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Fifth grade teacher Nick Blackburn, meanwhile, had campers build superheroes after choosing materials and totaling the cost of each item in advance. "You don't have any dollar limit, but I want you to use what you take," he said. The kindergarten teacher, Laura Vespa, helped students make books about superheroes in their lives, and resource teacher Karen Layden led them playing games in the break room and the brain break room, involving physical and technological varieties. The large number of junior high volunteers meant that only a handful of the 21 campers in grades 2 through 5 had to share their counselor with another camper. Among the young volunteers doing double duty were 7th graders Bailey Niehiser and Sarah Keys, both 12. "I like helping the kids so that they can bring good stuff home to show their families," Sarah said. Illinois State Museum to reopen. Springfield. 9 months after Governor Bruce Rauner shuttered the Illinois State Museum its satellite branches to save money, the main museum in Springfield and the Dixon Mounds Museum in Lewiston are slated to open to the public July 2nd. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources announced the action this week after the General Assembly's bipartisan Joint Committee on Administrative Rules voted Tuesday to approve a $5 entry fee for adults at the Springfield Museum. However, three other satellite facilities, including the Southern Illinois Art and Artisan Center at Rend Lake, will remain closed indefinitely. No entry fee was set for Dixon Mounds. "We are excited to welcome the public back to the Illinois State Museum," Department of Natural Resources Director Wayne Rosenthal said. "The Illinois State Museum is the best place in Illinois for families from around the state and around the world to explore the rich history of our state. The museum has planned special events to mark the reopening and on other weekends throughout the summer," according to the department. While adults will now have to pay to get into the previously free museum, children 18 and younger, senior citizens, and veterans will still get in free. In addition to the Rend Lake facility, galleries in Chicago and Lockport will remain closed for the time being. The department continues to work with stakeholders and communities where other Illinois State Museum branches are located in hopes of securing partnerships that would allow those branches to open, spokesman Tim Schweitzer said. State Senator Andy Menard, Democrat of Bunker Hill, whose district is home to the main museum, said he's happy to see it reopen but wonders what was gained by closing its doors. The Rauner administration's original plan for shuttering the museum included laying off more than 100 employees, but after unionized workers challenged the move in court, the layoffs were put on hold. The employees have continued reporting for work, even as the museum has remained closed to the public since October 1st. Several members of the museum's management team retired or left for other jobs, however. If the goal was to institute an entry fee to make the museum more financially sustainable, Menard said, that could have been done months ago without the closure. "This all could have been avoided," he said. "Families have been displaced, jobs have been lost. The integrity of the museum and its accreditation have been put in the crossfire because of Governor Rauner's choices," he said. In national news, gun proposals get no traction in Congress. Washington. The slaughter in Florida and an attending attention-grabbing filibuster in the Senate did little to break the election year stalemate in Congress over guns Thursday, with both sides unwilling to budge. Republicans stood firm against any new legislation opposed by the National Rifle Association. Democrats renewed their call to action after Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat of Connecticut, held the floor, along with colleagues, in a nearly 15-hour filibuster that lasted into the early hours Thursday. "We can't just wait. We have to make something happen," said Senator Cory Booker, Democrat of New Jersey, at an emotional news conference where Democrats joined family members of people killed in recent mass shootings. "These are people bound by brutality, and their numbers are growing." But Republicans were coolly dismissive of Democrats' demands. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, derided Murphy's filibuster as a campaign talkathon and did nothing but delay potential votes. Noting that a few Democrats had skipped a classified briefing on the Florida nightclub shooting to participate in the filibuster, McConnell chided, "It's hard to think of a clear contrast for serious work for solutions on the one hand and endless partisan campaigning on the other." Democrats spoke of the need for new gun legislation. Republicans cited the threat posed by the Islamic State group, to which Orlando gunman Omar Mateen swore allegiance while killing 49 people in a gay nightclub early Sunday. But the two sides mostly talked past each other, and efforts to forge consensus quickly sputtered out. As a result, the Senate faced the prospect of taking dueling votes beginning Monday on Democratic and GOP bills, all of which looked destined to fail. The back and forth came as President Barack Obama visited the victims' families in Orlando and called on lawmakers to act. "Those who defend the easy accessibility of assault weapons should meet these families and explain why that makes sense," Obama said. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton joined Senate Democrats' call for action. Presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump weighed in with a tweet suggesting he would meet with the NRA and support efforts to keep guns out of the hands of terrorists. Exactly what he would support was unclear. In the same exercise the Senate has engaged in time and again after mass shootings. It's the same exercise the Senate has engaged in after mass shootings. Even after the Newtown, Connecticut shootings of schoolchildren, the Senate could not pass a bipartisan background checks bill. Moderate Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine criticized the state of affairs as Groundhog Day. After the shooting in San Bernardino, California last year, the effort was downgraded to trying to pass a bill by Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, to keep people on a government terrorism watch list or other suspected terrorists from buying guns, but that too failed. This time, Feinstein is seeking a revote on her bill. Republicans will offer an alternative by Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, that would allow the government to delay a gun sale to a suspected terrorist for 72 hours, but require prosecutors to go to court to show probable cause to block the sale permanently. Votes were also expected on dueling background check bills. All were expected to fail. Collins said she was working with other Republicans as well as talking to Democrats on a bill that would prevent people on the no-fly list, a smaller universe than targeted by Democrats, from getting guns. But her bill had not been blessed by GOP leaders, and it was unclear if it would get a vote. Polls show a large number of Americans agree with the need for at least some limited gun measures, such as background checks, but Democrats have been unable to turn the tide of public opinion to their purpose because the NRA is unable to mobilize and energize voters who will threaten to vote lawmakers out on the gun issues alone. This past week, the NRA made robocalls in Pennsylvania, urging people to contact their senators and express their strong opposition to any new gun control laws. In the GOP-controlled House, Republicans had no plans to act on guns, and Democrats were unable to force any action. Given House rules less favorable to the minority party than the Senate, Instead, the House passed a bundle of previously approved counterterrorism bills and sent them to the Senate again. The question is going after the Second Amendment how you stop terrorism? No, that's not how you stop terrorism, said House Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin. In local news, new cooks pan out. Decatur, making an omelet can be as easy as cracking eggs. I saw this video online, said Dania Powell, 17, a recent graduate of Eisenhower High School, who is headed to Millikan University in the fall to study biology. She's a counselor at Camp Connections, meeting at Hope Academy this summer, and taught a group of kids how to make omelets in muffin tins. First, the kids learned to crack eggs and carefully pour the contents into a bowl. She showed them how to stir them up and not be afraid to stir vigorously so the yolks and whites would mix together. One child sprayed the paper muffin cups with olive oil, then they spooned eggs into the cups and added their desired toppings, choosing from tomato, cheese, mushrooms, green pepper, or, as one child said, a little bit of everything. Camp Connections' theme this summer is making healthy choices, and what you eat is a big part of that, said Leslie Woolsey, the facilitator. They already discussed snacks and tried healthy alternatives, such as carrots dipped in ranch dressing instead of salty, fatty potato chips or hot fries. The adults did the chopping of the vegetables, with the kids watching closely, as Woolsey Powell and Millikan University student Renisha Moore explained what they were doing. As Woolsey showed the youth how to slice vegetables, she warned them that knives are sharp and it takes practice to use one safely. Once the egg in the muffin cups and the vegetables are added, once the egg was in the muffin cups and the veggies added, the whole thing goes in the oven for 15 to 20 minutes until the egg is firm, Powell said. Braden Affalone, 9, has some cooking experience, having made pizza and kettle chips, among other things, in previous camps. I like it, he said, of the cooking process, and he doesn't even mind cleanup chores. When Powell asked for a volunteer to do dishes, he was the first with his hand in the air. Fellow camper Nadia Curry, 8, teased Braden about the kettle chips. She remembers making them, too. They were nasty the first time, she said, and Braden agreed with a chuckle. That their first batch didn't turn out, but the second one did, he said. A lot of kids want to cook, but they just haven't had the experience of cooking, Woolsey said. We wanted to give them a hands-on experience. It's kind of hard to divide everything up, and so with so many kids, but we're working, and they're taking turns. Ameren empowers air conditioner gifts. Decatur. Something cool happened to Tim Davenport on Thursday morning. He got a free brand new window air conditioner. The Decatur man, who recently moved into a rental home with only fans to cool himself, said he had been trying to save up enough to buy a cooling unit. He said life without chilled air in the 90s temperatures and suffocating humidity was brutal. I tried cleaning my bathroom the other day, said Davenport, 66, who works as a janitor. After 15 minutes I had to come out, I was wringing wet with sweat. Davenport's air conditioner was one of 75 donated by Ameren, Illinois, to the Decatur-Macon County Opportunities Corporation, and delivered by company volunteers Thursday. DMCOC selected which individuals and families would receive the units, working on guidelines related to low-income home energy assistance program. Gail Evans, DMCOC executive director, said there was a lot of need in Decatur and she could easily give away another 75 units if she had them. We don't have the job base in Decatur that we've had over the years, she said. That bleak employment picture, married with less help for the poor coming from a state that still doesn't have a budget, has hit home particularly hard, she said. You put all that together, and it has a direct impact on people's lives, you know, she added. But She told Ameren she was profoundly grateful for the company's generosity. She then presented Ron Pate, the utility's senior vice president for operations and tech services, with a plaque honoring Ameren Illinois for its sense of caring. Since 2013, the utility has donated 1,700 air conditioners to agencies helping the poor. The air conditioners presented Thursday will soon be drawing on electricity supplies that have seen demand ramp up 40% in the utility service territory since the hot snap started. Temperatures eased a little bit as the week waned, but the forecast calls for the mercury to be back in the low 90s Sunday into Monday. Heather Stanley, National Weather Service meteorologist in Lincoln, said it's been a lot hotter than usual for this time of year. For instance, Wednesday's high was 95 was 12 degrees above normal, she said. Stanley said tips for coping with the heat include wearing light-colored clothes, avoiding the outdoors in the afternoon, and drinking plenty of water. She said alcohol and soft drinks tend to dehydrate the body and won't help you cool down. Area briefs for Friday, Decatur. Library Board Officers. The Decatur Public Library Board elected officers for the upcoming year Thursday. John Phillips and Mark Sorensen will remain the president and vice president, respectively. Aaron Largent was appointed secretary. The board also honored outgoing trustee Priscilla Palmer with a plaque. Palmer served for 6 years. Kayria Rogers was appointed to the Decatur City Council earlier this month to fill a vacancy starting in July. The council also reappointed Phillips and Sorensen for another 3-year term. Dalton City. Bridge weight limit. The bridge on the Dalton City Blacktop, or County Highway 57, located 1 mile south of U.S. 36, will have a weight restriction of 5 tons, effective immediately. This restriction will allow only for the use of passenger cars and light pickup trucks on the bridge. No single-unit trucks nor any type of semi-trucks should be driven across the structure. The County Highway Department will coordinate with law enforcement to ensure the weight limit is adhered to. Traffic signals soon will be placed to narrow the bridge to one lane to ease the weight on the structure. The bridge is scheduled to be replaced within the next 18 months. Decatur, Freedom Day. The National Freedom Day celebration will be hosted by the African American Cultural and Genealogical Society Museum. The 2-day celebration will start with a fundraiser banquet at 6:30 p.m. today in Grand Palace, 3253 North Brush College Road. The speaker will be Judge Lisa Holder White and MC Sean Streety. Parade will begin at 11:30 a.m. Saturday from the Ameren Building to Central Park. For more information, call 217-429-7458. That's 429-7458. Or visit African-American-Cultural.org. Decatur, Freedom Day. The National Freedom Day celebration will be hosted. Electronics recycling. In Decatur, a collection of residential electronics will be held from 9 a.m. to noon Saturday, June 18th, at Progress City USA on the Richland Community College campus. Traffic will be limited to 900 vehicles, and entrance will be from the right northbound lane of Brush College Road. Up to 10 items will be accepted from each vehicle. Acceptable items include televisions and monitors, computers, printers, control boxes, receivers, consoles and controllers, media recorders, and phones and tablets. Shelbyville. Fishing Tournament. A free fishing tournament for children younger than 13 will be Saturday, June 18th at Opossum Pond near the entrance to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Opossum Creek Recreation Area. Registration begins at 8:30 a.m. for ages 6 and younger, with participants fishing from 9 to 9:45 a.m. Registration for ages 7 to 9 and 10 to 11 will be at 9:30 a.m., followed by fishing from 10 to 11 a.m. Prizes will be awarded for biggest catch, smallest fish, and most fish in each age division. The tournament is limited to bank fishing. All participants will be required to wear a life jacket and bring fishing equipment. Call 217-774-3951, extension 2. That's 774-3951, extension 2. Family Day, Decatur. The Stagecoach Riders Motorcycle Club will host its annual Children, Family, and Friends Day, 2 to 6 p.m. Sunday, June 19th at Hess Park. Free food and drinks will be available, with games and water fights, and a visit from the Decatur Fire Department at 4 p.m. The event is open to the public. For more information, call Johnny Mann at 217-520-1849. That's 520-1849. In money, on biz, Illinois workforce shrinks. The unemployment rate dropped across Illinois in May to 6.4%, but state officials attributed the drop to a decrease in the size of the state's workforce. The Illinois Department of Employment Security said Thursday that unemployment fell from 6.6% in April. It was the first decline in the jobless rate in 7 months. Department Director Jeff Mays said the state lost 2,500 jobs in May. Illinois unemployment rate is well above the national 4.7% rate for May. The state added a net of 1,600 jobs for the month in both the professional and business services and financial activities sectors. Education and health services companies shed 2,300 jobs in May, while the state lost a net of 2,100 government jobs. Philly gets soda tax. Philadelphia became the first major American city with a soda tax on Thursday, despite a multi-million dollar campaign by the beverage industry to block it. In tomorrow's highlight, Juneteenth National Freedom Day Parade and Celebration will be from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. in Central Park in Decatur. For information, call 217-429-7458. That's 429-7458. The parade starts at 11 a.m. from the Ameren, Illinois parking lot. Central Park comes alive with music, singing, art, artistic performances, exhibits, and glimpses of historic personalities. Also for tomorrow, there's a Macon Street Fest from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. downtown Macon. Breakfast at 7 a.m., 5K, barbecue, kids tractor pull, vendors, kids entertainment, volleyball, car show, beer tent, and fireman's dinner. And on stage, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. That's 217-728-7375. That's just a few things going on tomorrow in the entertainment section. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated June 17th, 2016. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.